Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome to the program, 908 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Steve Dunham from the Washington County School District is here with me today. I always say that, but it's Steve Dunham with the Dunham family, but he's also worked for the school district. Hi, Steve.
Hello. How are you, Andy?
I'm good. How are you today?
I almost said hello, Wayne. I don't know why Wayne was about to come out of my mouth.
Like Wayne's World?
Yeah, I don't know a Wayne. Yeah. I haven't known a Wayne
party
for years.
Party on. Right?
Yeah, there you go. Guys,
yeah. Wayne's World. Well, yeah, I don't. I know a couple of Waynes, but I wouldn't say I'm like tight with them. The coaches and stuff.
I have no idea why Wayne came to my head as I started to speak.
Do I look like a Wayne?
No, you don't.
No, I don't. Okay.
That was the weirdest thing. I just admitted it to the whole audience, and they never would have known if I didn't say anything.
Here is, by the way, some news headlines today, and if you want to comment on them, Steve, we'd love to have them. This is a sad story. So, first of all, did you know the Dragon Bravo fire is still going?
Yes, I did.
I didn't even know it was still going. And I got this headline today. Sadly, a firefighter had a cardiac arrest, had a heart attack.
I just read that this morning.
They said he was working on engage in suppression repair near the park entrance station. I don't know what that means, but I do know he had a heart attack. There was a paramedic right there. They couldn't bring him back. So
that's awful.
Very sad deal.
That's really, really awful.
I didn't even know there was the fire was still going. I really thought it was out.
Oh, yeah, that's a biggie. That's still cooking up there.
A hiker had to be rescued after being swept away in a flash flood in Hurricane Wash. This was in Kane County, so not Hurricane here, but Hurricane Wash in Kane County. But the hiker actually was able to grab a hold of a tree about 300 feet downstream and climb the tree and is okay. He got injured, but he didn't get seriously injured, and he was okay. But
that's lucky. There's a lot of debris in the first part of those flash floods. So much debris.
Very lucky to be alive. There was a fire in the Washington City Parks Yard, basically where they keep all their equipment and everything, caused about $100,000 worth of damage. A worker tried to put the fire out with a fire extinguisher, but it didn't quite cut it.
Darn it.
You know that guy, and I wanted to talk about this with you, Steve, today.
Yeah.
The guy walking along the sidewalk with his wife. A drunk driver comes around and hops a curb. He pushes his wife out of the way, but he dies. He gets hit by the car. It was a DUI, the drunk driver, at least allegedly a drunk driver, who did not have a license. But we kind of surmised on this show last week when this happened, we would all probably do that for our wives. We wouldn't even think twice about it, right? If we needed to sacrifice ourselves for our wives, we would do it, or even our children. But then I posed the question, and this is where it gets a little murky in our minds. Would you do that for a stranger? Would you do that for a guy you knew was, say, homeless, addicted to drugs, you know, kind of drugs, you know, of society type person? Then you start going, okay, now would I? Or wouldn't I? And then I compared it to talk about police officers. Those guys up in Tremont got called to a domestic. You know, you get called to one of those things. Generally, it's some kind of family fight. They've been there before, and then they get gunned down. So basically, their statement was, as a police officer, yes, I am willing to give my life for a stranger, no matter what their lot in life is. But would we, Steve? Would you? Would I? I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is either. And I wonder if I would even be quick enough to think, to react, to even push anybody. Or would I just be in shock? You know how you freeze up sometimes?
Right, that's true.
And so it really takes some wherewithal to have the presence of mind to even respond and react to push his wife out of the way. I mean, that alone... To have the presence of mind to be like, I got to get her out of here, you know?
And by the way, the guy's name is Matthew Daines. He's a hero in my mind.
I agree.
What an incredible act. I think one of the things I was saying on the show last Friday was I think you've got to make this decision beforehand.
Yeah.
Because you're right. It's a split second. I mean, you literally have tenths of a second to make a decision on what you're going to do. He had clearly decided, in my opinion, he clearly decided way in advance, if this situation ever happens, this is what I'm doing.
Yep.
And
I think you're right.
And we probably, I know I have thought about, like when walking down the street with my wife, I've thought about something. Well, if this happens, this is what I would do. But again, then you go, okay, well, what if it's a stranger? What if it's, I just don't know if I would or could.
You know, your deeper question kind of brings, it made me think of the movie Saving Private Ryan, where they go there.
I love that movie,
and he's like, why me? Why am I the special one?
Yeah.
And one of the final lines is, make it worth it.
Yeah.
And then it ends the movie with the older Private Ryan who's like, did I live a good life? Did I do?
Please tell me I did.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's the dilemma of, was I worth it? And so you'd hope that, you know, you'd make a decision that makes it worth it for somebody.
And it's not, you know, thinking of that platoon going to try to save Private Ryan, they really struggled with it. Like, is it worth it? And the leader, Tom Hanks, was the leader of this little platoon. He said, I don't know if it's worth it, but I do know that if this gets me closer to maybe going home someday to my family, I'm going to do it. Unfortunately, that character was killed in the battle. But
spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I think at this
came
point,
out in the 90s.
25-year-old movie, probably everybody's seen it.
But it is, and a lot of his platoon members were really conflicted because they lost some of their pals during that, and they were struggling with that.
Yeah,
up definitely. Until that. But so it comes back to your question of, well, could we do it for anybody? And that's really true charity, if you can.
By the way, two of my four favorite movies of all time, Tom Hanks is in them.
Oh, yeah.
Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
And the Green Mile.
Oh, yeah, that is a great one.
Those are two of my four favorites. The other two, Shawshank Redemption.
I was going to say, you got to have Shawshank in there.
And then for a more lighthearted movie, Princess Bride. Just love that show.
Melwidge.
It's a funny show. Yeah, Melwidge. You killed my father. Okay, so that's the news of the day today. A reminder, Thursday night. So Thursday is 9/11. It is a commemoration of the what happened on 9/11. And St. George City says that we're going to do something. So they have actually paid to have a guy who was in the first tower, Victor Guzman. He was on the 85th floor and survived the deal. He's going to be speaking. The commemoration is called Patriot Day Remembering 9/11. Is Thursday at 6 p.m. at Historic Town Square. And that's where Victor Guzman will give his little talk. And they'll retire a flag. It'll be a really nice ceremony. And so if you're a St. George resident, or even if you're not a St. George resident, it's kind of a cool
thing. Yeah.
So.
A great opportunity to remember a really horrific event from our past.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like past to me. You know, it's funny how as you get older, 25, 26 years ago, it does not seem like the past.
Yeah.
And yet, as a kid, that was ancient to me.
Yeah.
And so, I can...
Kids freak out nowadays when they say, when were you born? I was born in the 1900s.
I know.
Yeah.
It's like, you might as well say 1870.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I remember... So when I was a kid, I didn't live near my grandparents. So when we would visit them, it was kind of cool to be with them. But my grandpa was born in 1910, before World War One, and I was like, that just blew my mind.
Yeah.
You know, having been born in the 60s, that my grandpa was born in before World War One, and he, you know, lived through World War One and World War Two,
yes,
and Korean War and the Vietnam
and cars
War
and you know, essentially almost before a car.
Yeah, it's crazy. In fact, my grandpa, speaking of cars, his dad was killed in a drunk driving crash. Somebody crashed and killed his dad when he was a kid. When cars were new and there were no drunk driving laws back then. So, let's see, we got a text here. Okay, it has nothing to do with the show, so we're going to move on. All right, let's talk a little bit about the other news headlines. Last week, a man was arrested in St. George for being in possession of a lot of child pornography.
Yes.
The man was employed at the time by the Washington County School District as a bus driver. Tell us kind of how you learned about it and what happened here.
The police notified us that they were going to make an arrest of one of our employees. They notified us generally what the charges would entail, but we didn't know what the exact charges were. We asked simply, what time is this going to happen? They're like, today. They weren't sure or didn't want to let us know. And we understand that, you know, they want to make sure they catch the individual before they can delete or make any changes to things.
Sure.
And we recognize that. And so in communication with the detective and with St. George Police, we said, hey, will you allow us to notify our parents first before it goes out to the news? Nothing is worse than people finding out from the news,
right.
You know, not that you guys are bad, but, but you know,
no, I understand.
When we have the information, we've made a commitment to try and notify our parents as quickly as possible. And it's oftentimes when we notify them as quickly as possible, we don't have all of the facts. So we hurried and sent a blast out to all of our parents, a little email blast that was simply notifying them that, hey, this is the incident. They have assured us that it does not relate to any of our students. However, we want you to be aware of this out of full transparency, and we'll update you as additional information comes along. And we got a little bit of blowback from that.
I was going to say, what kind of reaction did you get?
Some parents were angry that we didn't put the charges. They're like, child pornography. I'm like, well, we didn't know what the charges were. And in any type of criminal case, you don't want to either say or make assumptions that can jeopardize what the police are doing. So we right. didn't know what the official charges would be. Our message went out to parents about 30 or 40 minutes before the police released their news or their media release.
So the guy was already arrested when yes. you sent the thing out, so you didn't compromise the case.
No. He had been arrested.
It wasn't released yet.
Yes, and so we put together our statement, and then they're like, you didn't say what the charges were. Well, we didn't know what the charges were because we wanted to get it out quickly. And then parents were frustrated that different things. That was one of them. They were frustrated. They felt like we had lied to them because we didn't put the bus route. Well, we sent it to all of our parents because for the first 7 months of his employment, this bus driver was a substitute bus driver and filled in for routes throughout the district. Yeah. But from April, he was on a bus 353, which was in the Dixie Coneside area, so the Dixie High area, and did schools all throughout there. And so we tried to share what information we could. You know, obviously we can learn from it and do a little bit better, but we sent it to everybody simply because we felt like, hey, we need to notify all of our parents. So that's kind of where things went there. You know, it's hard because we were trying really hard to fulfill our obligation to notify our parents when we're aware of these things.
Yeah.
There was an incident that happened a few years ago where we didn't do that because, it didn't involve our students. And the police assured us of that. And so we're like, well, it's not our issue. Why make it our issue by notifying our parents? And our parents really took us to task on that. And we listened. And again, that's the result of this is this latest one where we notified everybody okay. immediately when we knew. And so we're trying to do better. We're trying to listen to our parents. We hope they'll give us a little bit of grace that, hey, we don't know all the facts. This isn't our incident, but we're sharing with you what they've told us. And their assurance was very accurate that, you know, there were people that were upset. How can you say, you know, he's child pornography? How can you say this didn't involve our children? Well, it didn't involve any children in our community. There were no images. They were all downloaded from the internet, according to what I've read.
Yeah.
So.
And if you, like you said, and we just want to make it clear to everyone that listening, as far as we know, there were no children in our community, in our county,
yeah.
that were a part of this child pornography that this guy had.
Yes.
Allegedly.
Yes, allegedly had. Yeah. But I hope parents will recognize that when we're trying to be fast with a notification, we're sometimes going to lack details in the information. And likewise, if you'd rather we wait, then we're not going to be fast. We'll have the details, but we won't be fast and be able to notify you first. So, and then people will be angry that, hey, why do I have to hear this on the news? Why do I have to see this on the internet before you guys tell me this is wrong?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of that catch 22.
There's an old saying in a gun shooting, in target shooting, you want me to be fast or you want me to be accurate? Because honestly, the faster I am, the less accurate it's going to be. And that's kind of the way you face it too, right?
It really is.
You want every detail? Well, that's going to take a couple of days.
Yes. So. And from the previous incident, the parents were very clear. We recognize you may not have all the information, but tell us what you can tell us, which is what we did this last time. We told you what we could tell you as quickly as we possibly could, because we couldn't release it too early because we had to make sure it was all formal with the police department. Even though he was in custody, there are things they have us wait on. So
now what about the employment status of this person? When you get arrested, even though you haven't been actually convicted yet, is that automatic you're fired, period?
It depends on the situation. Okay. With the school district, if you've been employed for less than 3 years, you're an at-will employee. Right. We can terminate you for any cause.
Okay.
And this individual had been with us for just less than a year. In fact, days less than a year. And so he was at will. We can terminate him right away. But also knowing what the charges would be, that lends to that, and we can terminate immediately. Anything dealing with children, a felony dealing with children, yes, we can terminate you right away.
It definitely is. It kind of turned your stomach to think about
it's
what
the truth.
Yeah, what was going on with this guy, allegedly.
And it's hard because we see the things on the internet. This is the kind of people they hire. Again, we do a background check for every single employee that works in the school district.
Right.
There was zero criminal history.
Yeah, nothing.
And so it's hard because, I mean, let's face reality. We cannot watch what people do at home after work in the privacy of their own home. We can't do that. And so, but doing what we do, we try to do our due diligence. We try to ensure that everybody is safe. And boy, if we ever get an inkling of anything, we'll take action right away.
Right.
And I think the only message I could say is for parents, always, I think it's always good to have a good line of communication with your children on anything. So they'll open up to you so that you can open up to them and occasionally have a conversation that might be a little awkward or whatever. I guess what I'm saying, if you have a good line of communication, hopefully a child would open up to you and say, hey, something weird happened.
Yeah.
And then you could tell us and we will step in. We would be quick. I would hope we'd be quick. I should say that.
Yeah. So bottom line is this guy is no longer employed with Washington County School District.
Correct. Yeah.
He is in police custody. He has been charged a whole bunch of charges.
Yeah.
But he is not guilty until found guilty. I mean, and that's one of the things. I kind of get mad because remember years ago they took away the photos on the arrest reports because people were assuming they were guilty and they'd see the picture and that person's guilty. Well, they had just been arrested. They weren't guilty yet. And so I always try to say this. Look, we don't know for sure if they're guilty until a court of law says they are guilty. You've been arrested for something. There's usually a pretty good idea they think you're guilty.
Yeah.
Because they won't arrest you if they don't think you're guilty.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that it's necessarily true yet.
So, yeah.
So we have to throw that out there and make sure that we say the alleged perpetrator.
But I hope our parents will recognize from our side, we're trying to be as transparent with you as we possibly can. And there are always things we can do better. We are always learning. But we do listen, and we do try to do better and be transparent with our parents.
Last night, my wife, we were going over some old files. My wife was a court clerk for 25 years.
Oh, wow.
And so she was calling up a lot of these different stories and stuff. And unfortunately, there are a lot of bad people out there. And she had to deal with some of them with her job. But one time she said a lady called her and said, hey, listen, I can't come to court tonight because she had court scheduled. And my wife's like, as the clerk, she's like, okay, well, I need a reason. I can't just tell the judge you can't come. And she said, well, my baby's sick and I need to take my baby to the doctor and all this stuff. And so my wife's like, all right, well, we'll do a deferment and you come in two weeks. And so the next day, my wife, you know, being the very sweet lady that she is, she called the lady and she said, hey, I wanted to call and check on your baby. How's your baby? And the lady's like, my wife said, what's your baby's name and what's wrong with her? And the lady's like, oh, her name is, you know, just some name. And she says she's doing better. We ended up not having to go to the doctor, but she's doing better. And I feel like in 2 weeks, we should be good to go to court. And I guess in the middle of this conversation, as this lady's talking about her baby, quote unquote baby, a teenager, probably a student, Washington County School District student, picks up the other line and says, it's a dog. She's talking about her dog. And my wife's like, and the lady's like, whatever the girl's name is. Hey, will you shut up? I'm trying to freaking get out of a court appointment here. Will you just shut up? And yeah, my wife can hear all this going on. And yeah, it's kind of the way of things when it comes to the legal world.
There you go. There you go.
Has nothing to do with the case we were just talking about. I just thought it was a funny story that it's a dog. Anyway, I guess the mom got really, while my wife was on the phone, she could hear in the background the mom yelling at the girl for, why do you have to tell her that? And then she got back on the line and said, I don't know why she said that. It's a baby, not a dog. And I'm like, all right, whatever, lady. Okay. So anyway.
That's funny.
Fun stories. Sadly, a lot of people, when cornered, will, their first instinct is to not tell the truth.
And yeah.
We see that, unfortunately, in the legal among adults. I'm sure see that a lot in school among teenagers and younger kids.
Yeah.
That's their default. And it's kind of sad, but, you know.
I think you see that even, among the best of people.
Mm-hmm.
They'll want to defer or, massage the truth a little bit.
Exaggerate a little, maybe. My grandpa he was the greatest exaggerator on earth. And he said, oh, I don't lie. I might exaggerate a little, but I don't lie. Like, okay, well, how did that turn into, 10 times what it really was, Grandpa?
Yeah.
So, anyway. Well, we got to get a break here in a minute, but I do want to talk. I know you've had some stuff with the honor code, or not the honor code, the dress code coming up. And it's a weird deal, and we'll get into it here in a couple of minutes, but you got one group saying, hey, you're too lax, and then you got the other group saying, hey, you're too strict, and you got these kids caught in the middle going, what can I wear, what can't I? And let's face it, as teenagers, you're going to kind of push the envelope a lot of times. I remember my principal had a ruler, and back when I was in school, I think it was 2 inches from the knee. Your shorts couldn't be any taller than 2 inches from the knee. And he would walk around and actually measure people's shorts, and he would send them home. You got to go change.
Yeah.
If it was 4 inches, instead of 2 inches or whatever. He was pretty, pretty harsh about that. But I know you have some stuff you want to talk about with that. Also, we have some cool awards. There was a story today about, out on the wire saying that, nationally, test scores in English and math are not doing well. But every time I get a story like that, Steve, I go, okay, well, we're talking about nationally.
Yeah.
You got New York City and LA and Chicago and Detroit and Miami. But that's not St. George, Utah.
No,
it's not.
It's
Washington
not.
County. So we'll talk about that too when we come back.
Okay.
Right now, let's get a weather break in, shall we? We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, good morning. It's 9:34 on KDXU. We're with Steve Dunham from the Washington County School District.
Hello.
Steve, appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Let's talk dress code for a minute.
And give out the text number if anybody wants to, has a question or anything.
435-467-5842 if you want to text and be a part of the show. If you have a question for Steve, whether it has to do with that bus driver that has since been terminated, or the dress code, which is a kind of a hot topic right now. So, Steve, first of all, let's talk about dress code. What right now is the general dress code for schools in Washington County School District? What are the big points?
Well, it's hard to give you the specific big points. We adjusted the dress code to step away from policing style and more for professional dress standards.
Okay.
We didn't want to, we wanted clarity so that, and consistency so that, it wasn't left up to personal interpretation. We took away terms like, community standards. We took away terms that could be misconstrued as we're trying to throw our standards onto somebody else. We just left it with professional standards. And the goal was really to try and help students recognize that when you're in a professional environment, when you have a job, or whatever, you will have to dress to a certain standard. And that's what we're trying to do at the schools.
Okay.
We are trying to make it less arbitrary and more clear on what those standards were.
Are people unhappy right now on either side of the aisle?
On both sides, I think.
Oh, they both are. Okay. That's not good. I mean, maybe that is good because that means you're doing something right if they're both not happy.
Maybe. You have people saying, well, you need to enforce it. You're not enforcing it because they're putting their own personal standards on what they may be seeing, and we're trying to step away from putting our personal standards on something. And then there are those parents that are concerned that, hey, we're too strict about some of this, and I think some of their points are valid, that often it is unfairly applied to girls over boys.
True.
And it makes them feel devalued, it makes them feel bad. And we don't want that either.
Right.
And so we recognize where those parents are coming from, and we're trying to listen to them. And I shouldn't say we're trying. We are listening to them, and we're trying to make adjustments in how we're administering that and how we're training our administrators to do this. You know, one of the things we've talked about is that we don't want every employee calling in a dress code violation. That's not how it should be, because then it's employees putting their own standards on how a child is dressed. We want our administrators who we've talked to and kind of understand this bigger picture of, hey, we're trying to create a professional dress standard where students look nice. It diminishes distractions. It provides safety for whether they're in the lab or in PE or whatever it might be. And it's just that consistency that we can move forward with. And so that's really what we're trying to accomplish.
Are there some specifics we should know about? For instance, the girls like to wear the holy jeans. You know, the holes in the pants, and is there any kind of policy on how high the holes can be, how big the holes can be, anything like that?
No, because again, that gets really specific, I guess, if we were to talk about holy jeans. But I mean, we talk about how undergarments can't be shown. We do mention that. We talk about tank tops, you know, how they may not be appropriate for school activities, and how, you know, through normal movement, a student needs to remain covered. And
right.
So those are some of the things that are currently in the dress code as we've looked at things.
Do we try to, you talked about kind of making it a professional environment, if you will.
Yes.
Does that mean that sweatpants, basketball shorts, flip-flops, things like that are out of the question?
Not always, but in some cases it can be. We've talked about pajamas. We've talked about things like that where really it just doesn't look up to, you know, a standard. And if a family's struggling, we recognize that and we'll work with them. And we have resources that can help also.
Okay. Is there a length, like, of shorts? Is there, you said you kind of tried to go away from specifics, right?
We did try to go away from specifics.
But there's,
specifics.
Like, booty shorts versus mid-thigh shorts, right?
And that is one of the things that I think we kind of put together a diagram that explains, that shows that illustrates that, yeah, the short shorts are not appropriate for a school environment, and so...
What would happen to someone who came to school in booty shorts and a spaghetti string tank top type thing? What's the process there? Do they get pulled out of class? What happens?
The process would hopefully be that the administrator would pull them to the side and say, hey, let's talk about professional dress standards. Do you feel like how you're dressed meets that standard? And just have a conversation with them. And sometimes it comes up that the child may not have left the home looking like that. They may have left dressed differently, and their parents saw them dressed differently, and they're like, oh, I actually got a shirt in my bag. I'll go put that on. Mm. And sometimes that happens. Other times we'll discuss, hey, what about if we give you a school T-shirt, or would you like to call somebody? What do you think? We try to make it a conversation. I'm not saying that it always works out that way, but we're trying to train our administrative team that it's a conversation so that people don't feel confronted publicly. They don't feel embarrassed.
Right.
We can minimize that as much as possible. And it really is around that arena.
One of the texts I got, it sounds too vague, is basically the gist of it. Is it too vague?
You know, I could pull up the standards because I can't think of them off the top of my head. But it is pretty clear with our administrators. So I am being vague because I can't remember the specifics. Okay. So that's a fair text. The way I'm explaining it does seem very vague. And I'm like, oh, for heck's sakes, I should have brought in the dress code with our little flyer that talks about all the standards we want to meet. So that's a fair text with how I'm explaining, because I don't have it in front of me. I apologize for that.
All right, well, stay away from some of the undergarment stuff. Let's go down to the feet, flip-flops. Can a kid wear flip-flops to school?
I think flip-flops are allowed, but not for labs, not for PE, not for certain activities. You need to have a closed-toe shoe for certain things. So that, again, it becomes a safety hazard. And so that is one of the things that we have to consider, is if you're in a chemistry lab, well, you have to be dressed appropriately for the chemistry lab. Otherwise, it's a danger to you, and it's a danger to the other students. Likewise for PE, flip-flops are not appropriate for running down the basketball court. And so,
for sure.
Yeah.
I went to play pickleball with a friend of mine, and he had flip-flops.
Oh, no. Like, that's a broken ankle right there.
Okay. Now, either he's not serious about pickleball or he's going to get hurt here.
Yeah.
One or the other. But, okay. So one party says, look, these this dress code isn't strict enough.
Yes.
What's their beef? Is it the wording of it? What is it?
I think what their beef is they're coming at it from a moral issue, and they feel like a certain moral standard needs to be applied to the students, and we're trying to stay away from putting our morals, our judgments on how students want to dress. Again, that becomes more of a style and a moral issue, and we're trying to avoid that. We're trying to say, hey, we do need a professional dress standard, but we're not saying that a tank top is inappropriate. There are some tank tops that would be appropriate. A cap sleeve shirt are appropriate, and right. it just depends on the situation. But there are some people that are affixing a moral standard to the dress. And I think we don't want to get there, because then you are subjecting girls to embarrassment when you do that.
Sure. What about the other side? The people that are saying this is too strict. This is you guys are killing us here. I mean, this is the way my daughter or my son dresses, and too bad. This is how they're going to dress. I mean, there's the other side too, right?
There is the other side. And I'll tell you, we had five parents come and speak at board meeting last night. Yeah.
Wow.
And they were so respectful. And they talked and said, hey, this is what we're looking at. We understand what you're trying to do, but please don't embarrass my child because of this. And so you could see where they were coming from. And so we're trying to, again, meet that professional standard. But they were like, don't sexualize my daughter's shoulders. And that's a fair statement. We're trying not to do that. We're trying to say, hey, we don't want to sexualize your child. We're trying to say we want a professional standard consistently throughout all of our schools. Mm. And so they were very respectful, though. I want to give kudos to those parents. I thought their points were very clear, very respectful. They were appreciative of what we're trying to do and said, we can still adjust this a little bit. And I think they're right. I think there is adjustment. Okay. There is room for movement on this still to fine-tune it. You know, some of their points were, what's the big deal with the tank top? It's hot here in St. George, which it is. And so, you know, those are things that we are looking at and listening to those considerations.
Speaking of too strict, when I was a young man going to Brigham Young University.
Oh, boy.
Brigham Young. I had one class on Friday. It was a PE class. It was a basketball class. And so as a young man, I don't know about you, but I hate shaving. And so on Fridays, I'm like, look, all I have is a PE class. I'm not going to shave today.
Yeah.
I got sent home three times that semester from PE class to go home and shave because I had a little 5 o'clock shadow, like kind of like I do right now.
A little scruff.
It's white now instead of brown like it was back then. But I got sent home three times because from PE, for crying out loud, because I had a 5 o'clock shadow. And the thing about PE classes, I don't know how it is in other schools, but if you didn't go to class, I mean, the whole deal with PE was attendance.
Yeah.
And so I had to go home, shave, and get back in time while the class was still going on to
get credit
to
for
get
attendance.
Credit for attendance.
Yeah. And, oh, man.
I did start shaving on Fridays for that class. But, yeah, it was pretty strict.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not, don't play the violin for me. Make me, you know, I'm not trying to get sympathy. I did sign the honor code that said I would be clean shaven going to class. So
yeah.
I knew the rules. I just thought, yeah, PE class, one day a week, I can get away with it.
And it's barely scruff, you know.
Exactly.
Hey, to that one texter, though, that is really a fair statement. I didn't come prepared to read the whole policy. If you'd like to look it up on our website, that's washk12.org. We have a policy tab, and it's policy 2200.
Nice.
So you can, and I know that because we just talked about it yesterday in board meeting. So policy 2200, and you can see the policy, the actual policy, and I believe there's a click through to a diagram.
Oh, diagrams
help. That gives more context to everything. But I think that's a fair statement what they said. You seem really vague. I'm like, I kind of am because I don't have it in front of me, so I apologize for that.
All right, let's take a commercial break. Back with Steve Dunham, Washington County Schools, after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
I'm Andy. I'm with Steve Dunham.
I'm Steve. I'm with Andy.
Yeah. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Thanks for coming, man.
Thanks.
There was a story on the wire today. I'm not going to read it. It'll take 5 minutes to read it. But basically, it was saying our high school students are not doing well when it comes to reading and math tests.
And that's nationally.
Nationally. Tell me how that applies, or does it apply at all to Washington County?
Well, it doesn't apply at all because in a recent story, Utah was ranked 11th in the nation for public quality of public education.
Really? That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's really good, especially if you consider we're funded at 48th or 49th in the nation. Mm. You know, there's always Idaho and Mississippi that comes in a little lower funded than us.
Yeah.
But if you consider that, if we're funded 48th in the nation, let's say, but we're ranked 11th for quality of public education, that means our taxpayers are getting a real bang for their buck.
Yeah.
Now, if we dive deeper and go, where does Washington County come in Utah, which is 11th in the nation, and we look at our reading scores for kindergarten and third grade are the best in the state.
Number one.
Our preschool, and it's funny to say preschool, but kids coming out knowing their letters and knowing the sounds they make sets the foundation for a positive growth in all of the rest of their years. Definitely. And we are number one in preschool for the kids that come out of Washington County School District. And then you have our science scores, which always come, not the best, but we are in the top for our 8th and 10th grade science scores. And so if you consider this and consider how we're 11th in the nation as a whole in Utah, and Washington County School District continually outperforms our counterparts throughout the state, we're doing darn good down here. Yeah. And you look at taxpayers, what you're paying for public education and what you're getting, there's a huge, huge difference there, Andy.
The logical progression in my mind, and maybe it's not really true, but it seems like then if we put more money in education, that 11th in the nation would go up to 8, to 5, to 3, to maybe 1, although I don't know if we'll ever catch Massachusetts, but it seems like then if we could put more money into education, we would be higher, right?
You know, that would really be an interesting thing to try.
Yeah, let's try it.
Because we've heard people say in the past, oh, more money doesn't mean a better score or more success. But we have never tried to do that.
Yeah, let's see.
And if we've never tried it, how can you say that?
Yeah.
You know, we've always pushed, put more money into education. Let's see what we can do. Look at what we're doing with 48th amount of money.
Yeah.
Imagine what we could do with even 30th amount of money or 25th amount of money. Imagine what we could accomplish with our children. One of the things that brings us down is our high class sizes. And we have to keep class sizes higher because we're funded so low.
Yeah.
But if we could fund them, there are studies that consistently show if you have fewer children in a class, the teacher can spend more time with them and you're going to get better results. That's what money does. That's what money means to public education.
And to put part of it simply, if you have, say, 3 students who are excelling.
Yes.
And they're in a classroom with 30 people, and there are 3 or 4 that are really falling behind and dragging.
Yes.
Guess what? They all get kind of the same curriculum right now because they're in the same class. Because we don't have the money to put those 3 in a, you know.
And that's always the struggle for our teachers. Yeah, we call it differentiation. We want to be able to meet each student on their level and get a year's worth of growth for a year's worth of instruction. So no matter where they are, we'd like to see a year's growth. So if they're a little behind in the class, we still want to see a year of growth from where they were behind, you know, and hopefully we can do a little better. Yeah. Likewise, if a child's excelling in the class and it's really coming easy, we want to see at least a year's worth of growth. And so providing that differentiation becomes more of a challenge when you have more children.
Yeah, yeah. 30 kids in a class versus 18 or something.
It's tough.
It's like juggling chainsaws.
And I'm not saying we need to raise taxes to do that either. So I don't want people automatically, I'm not going to raise. No, we are looking at ways that the state has already taken money away from public education. They've already changed so how funds for public education now go to higher education also. And now they get peeled off for other projects that elected officials have.
Right.
I'm not saying they're not fair with us. They are fair. They do consistently try to give us a fair amount each year. But there's always opportunities, you know, that, hey, we could try that. Let's try funding it at 30th in the nation and see what we can do with test scores, see what we can do with achievement levels here in our community. And I would rank Washington County amongst any school district in the state. Our teachers are among the very best. I say this every time I come on the show. But the proof is in the pudding. We are seeing the results with our students as they are excelling.
When there's always that tongue-in-cheek joke, maybe not tongue-in-cheek joke, about how, well, you need a few more Asians and your great, your test scores will go. It doesn't have to be about someone coming in from Korea or whatever. It can be about getting our students to love learning.
Exactly.
Getting our students to excel because it's something they like to do.
That's right. And if the teachers have more, you know, money can also mean professional development. Professional development means a training on how to teach a subject that make it engaging, fun, and exciting. If you can make it engaging, fun, and exciting, the child's going to learn, they're going to retain it, and they're going to outperform their counterparts.
Best class I ever took in my life. I was a freshman up in college, and it was a history class. I thought, oh, boy, this is going to be a history sophomore. And what happened was the first day of class, the professor said, you all are detectives. Let's find out the truth of what happened. And our very first case study was the Salem witch trials.
Ooh.
They said, we want you to investigate all the witness report, everything, and find out why. We know that some people, there are no such thing as witches. We know some people were burned for being witches. Find out what happened. And that was like the first 3 weeks of class was learning to investigate. I mean, it was exactly what you said. It was engaging. It was fun. We wanted to do it because it was something that was enjoyable.
That's funny that you bring up history, because one of my favorite classes up at the University of Utah was a history professor, and I would consistently take his classes. It was on ancient Rome.
Yeah.
And he was so engaging as he talked about Carthage and about all these different empires fighting against, and how Rome was an accidental empire, and they just grew and grew, but he made it engaging. That's why I have a minor in history to go with, you know, all my other stuff, because he was a really cool teacher and took the time to make it fun. And when it's fun, you learn.
Now Steve is an ancient Rome expert?
No, not an expert.
A little bit minor.
But I know. But if you ever want to learn about upsetting the Romans, look at what they did to Carthage. They leveled that city because Carthage kept going to battle against Rome. Mm-hmm. And they leveled that city, sowed salt in the soil for miles around so they could never rebuild the city, and tore it down so... I think they said no two stones were standing on top of each other.
Wow. That's so the phrase, salting the earth, right?
Yeah, don't upset the Romans.
Yeah, well, they did fall eventually.
Yeah, they did.
They rose, but then they fell. Anyway. Did you have any things did we get everything mentioned that you wanted to mention about this?
You know, we talked a lot about the stuff, and really the thing I've been so excited about is how our preschool is doing so well. We work with a program called Waterford Upstart, and Waterford Upstart is free to every parent of a child, a preschool age child. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be in our school system, but you can call us if you're interested in participating in the Waterford Upstart program for preschool 3 to 5, I think is the ages. It really sets the foundation for positive school career. It really does. And Waterford Upstart is funded by the state for every single child in the state if parents will take advantage of it.
And it can be fun. Some of those programs are kind of cool.
They really are fun. Yeah. It's fun learning. It's only 15 minutes for each of the subjects. And so it's quick. It's engaging. It's a little cartoon. It's really fun. KSL just did a feature of it. You can see it on their Sunday edition if you go to their YouTube channel and you want to learn more about that. But that's focused on us because we're the best in the state when it comes to our preschool kiddos.
My boys were little. It was putt-putt. Remember the little putt-putt discs?
No, I don't. Awesome.
It was really cool. It was a talking car, basically. If you can make it fun. I mean, let's be honest. Kids want to have fun. If you can make learning fun, make them enjoy it, it's going to make all the difference.
That's right.
I did one sad stat that I hope we can fix, and maybe, Steve, we only have a minute to give people advice on this, but I guess the number of grown-ups, adults who read to children is going down and down, and it's getting smaller and smaller every year. I mean, I don't understand, but I love to read to my grandkids. They love it.
Will you add the voices and everything?
Yeah. They just love that. And I don't know how we can get people fired up to do that again.
I don't know how to fire you up, but I would suggest find one book that you love, mm-hmm. that you as an adult love, and consistently read that with your kids. They will connect with it. My kids still remember, but not the hippopotamus. because that was one of my favorites. And it talked about including everybody in your play. That was the overall theme of the book. And I did fun voices, and I read it fun, and I loved to read it. And we would read it over and over and over, and they never got tired of it. It was a win.
Mine was Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. One of my favorites.
There's two for you, folks. Listen to those two, and feel free to share yours with us.
Thanks, Steve, for coming on today.
Thanks, Andy.
We're out of time. I'll be back tomorrow.